From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. Welcome you to this broadcast of Let the Bible Speak. Today we continue a series of studies in the book of Romans, messages preached by Dr. Alan Cairns, founder of Let the Bible Speak Radio Ministries. We'll hear from Dr. Cairns in just a few minutes. First of all, we invite you to enjoy this devotional thought from the pen of C.H. Spurgeon, as found in his collection called Morning and Evening.
Today's text is found in 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 8. There is laid up for me a crown of righteousness. Doubting one, thou hast often said, I fear I shall never enter heaven. Fear not, all the people of God shall enter there. I love the quaint saying of a dying man who exclaimed, I have no fear of going home. I have sent all before me. God's finger is on the latch of my door, and I am ready for him to enter. But, said one, are you not afraid lest you should miss your inheritance? Nay, said he, nay, there is one crown in heaven which the angel Gabriel could not wear. It will fit no head but mine. There is one throne in heaven which Paul the Apostle could not fill. It was made for me, and I shall have it. O Christian, what a joyous thought! Thy portion is secure. There remaineth a rest. But cannot I forfeit it? No, it is entailed. If I be a child of God, I shall not lose it. It is mine as securely as if I were there. Come with me, believer, and let us sit upon the top of Nebo and view the goodly land, even Canaan. Seest thou that little river of death glistening in the sunlight? And across it dost thou see the pinnacles of the eternal city? Dost thou mark the pleasant country and all its joyous inhabitants? Know, then, that if thou couldst fly across, thou wouldst see written upon one of its many mansions, This remaineth for such a one, preserved for him only. He shall be caught up to dwell for ever with God. Poor doubting one, see the fair inheritance. It is thine. If thou believest in the Lord Jesus, if thou hast repented of sin, if thou hast been renewed in heart, thou art one of the Lord's people, and there is a place reserved for thee, a crown laid up for thee, a harp specially provided for thee. No one else shall have thy portion. It is reserved in heaven for thee, and thou shalt have it ere long. For there shall be no vacant thrones in glory when all the chosen are gathered in.
City until the day God calls. tremble. Remember there will only bring a smile. But until then, my heart will go on singing. Until then, with joy I'll carry on. Until the day my eyes behold city, until the day God calls me home, until the day God calls me home.
Imagine a boy growing up under the influence of a drunken father, participating in the violence and bloodshed of Northern Ireland in the 1970s, and being imprisoned in the Maze, the most notorious prison in the country. Yet, by the grace of God and the influence of caring loved ones, this young man's life was transformed by the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ. So thorough was the change that Thomas Martin became a powerful preacher whose testimony and ministry has seen many men and women brought to new life in Christ. Thomas Martin's story of the miracle of God's saving grace has been set down in a book entitled Out of the Maze, written by Noel Davidson, and Let the Bible Speak is happy to make copies of this encouraging and heartwarming book available free of charge to all who request it. For a free copy of Out of the Maze, simply email info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you wish, you may call us at 864-244-2408. That's 864-244-2408. If you prefer regular mail, simply write, Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Just ask for your copy of Out of the Maze, and we'll be happy to provide it. As Dr. Cairns proceeds with his study in the Epistle to the Romans, he brings the next portion of a message entitled, The Old Man Crucified and the Body of Sin Destroyed. The text is verses 6 and 7 of chapter 6, in which the Apostle Paul continues his discussion of the believer's union with Christ. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin, for he that is dead is freed from sin. Some have argued that the old man represents the sin principle, which is still active in the believer. As Dr. Cairns has explained, the old man is what the Christian was prior to salvation, that is, while he was still in Adam. At the moment of regeneration, that old man was crucified with Christ, or, as Dr. Cairns will show, it was nullified or rendered inoperative in the Christian's life. The reference is to the mortal body, which sin uses to express itself. One day, either through death or through Christ's second coming, the body will be glorified and will no longer be the instrument of sin. Now Dr. Cairns will continue this message, The Old Man Crucified and the Body of Sin Destroyed.
Now think of this. Not only did the Lord Jesus Christ suffer the penalty of our sin, which is a wonderful truth, but since he and his people are one and indivisible in the covenant of grace, our old man suffered the full penalty of his own sin, once and for all. Not that we actually did the suffering. We covered this last week. We didn't have to do the suffering. We were planted in the likeness of his death. We were implanted with him in the likeness of his death. This was a purely, the word is, forensic act of God. Without us contributing a thing, paying anything of the price, nevertheless, to the law and to its penalty, to sin and to its reign and its tyranny, the old man was once and forever put to death, never to be raised again. Now, it's very vital for us to realize this, and it's equally vital for all of us who are saved to stop believing that we are called of God to do what the Scripture says is impossible. Those who make the old man mean the flesh, the carnal nature, put believers under a binding guilt. Maybe you've felt this. You see, if God says to you, and emphasize the if, because he doesn't, but if God says to you, put your old man to death, what is he asking you to do? What is he asking you to do? If the old man means the flesh, he's telling you, eradicate the flesh. And you see, that's what so many Christians are in such a bind about, because they're going through their life, they've been having all this holiness stuff put at them. And I say holiness stuff to cover a lot of stuff that I dealt with in the last couple of weeks. They have all this coming at them from all angles, and they feel, I have got to be able to eradicate the flesh. I shouldn't feel this way. I shouldn't feel this stirring. And if I'm feeling this way, if I'm reacting, I'm not a corpse. I've been told I should be a corpse to sin. You can prod a corpse, curse a corpse, burn a corpse. You can do anything with a corpse that doesn't react. But I react. Therefore, I'm living in disobedience to God. The trouble with that is, you see, not only is it unscriptural, but it targets the most sincere and the most vulnerable of God's people. And I have seen Christians of the most sincere kind and have just been reduced to lives of guilty failure. And they haven't been failures at all. Except in this. You're trying to do what the Bible never commands you to do. The Bible says your old man was crucified. It doesn't ever, ever, ever tell you to crucify the old man. It doesn't do it. There's no command in the New Testament for you to crucify the old man. There's a wonderful revelation that said God crucified the old man with Christ at Calvary. And realizing this will do two things. It will show you how you can be sure of this wonderful truth of verse 5, that we shall be in the likeness of his resurrection, and it will lay the foundation for true holiness in your life. For immediately now we'll move to the third point, where Paul goes on to state God's purpose in crucifying the old man. We have the old man identified. We have the old man crucified. Now we come to the body of sin nullified. And notice the word, for it's an important word. The body of sin nullified. Why was the old man crucified with Christ? That. It's a purpose clause. In order that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. Now here's the purpose and the product of the death of the old man. Once again, we have a difficult term to deal with. What is the body of sin? And then we have a second difficult term to deal with. What is the meaning of this word that's translated destroyed? So those are big things, and I'm therefore going to cut through a lot. There's so many opinions here. We're going to consider the body of sin defined, and then we're going to consider the body of sin destroyed. The definition. Some people say by the body of sin simply means sin in itself. It's a, to use a big word, it's a circumlocution. A wonderful word. It's a roundabout way of saying sin itself. Charles Hodge, one of the greatest of all commentators on Romans, indeed one of the greatest of all commentators in anything that he ever commentated upon, Charles Hodge says the body of sin is only another name for the old man. The phrase is figurative. Sin is personified. The body of sin is considered as a body, as something which can be crucified. So Hodge says the body of sin is the old man. And it's described as a body as if God were personifying it in order to, say, crucify it. Robert Haldane, along with Hodge, the premier exponent or exegete in the book of Romans, he agrees. He says the body of sin is sin embodied, meaning the whole combination and strength of corruption as having all its members joined into a perfect body. So this is a figure of speech that treats sin as a body. It's really sin in itself, and you picture it as some sort of body. John Calvin, he says the body of sin does not mean flesh and bones, but the corrupted mass. For man, left to his own nature, is a mass made up of sin. So to him, the body of sin means the mass of sin, the mass of corruption. And that's the explanation that many, many commentators and preachers take today. To be quite honest, I dismiss all of those things. Not because I know more than they. If I knew 1/100th part of what any of those men knew, I would know 100 times more than I know today. But for self-evident reasons. John Murray, the great Scottish theologian who for years taught theology at Westminster Seminary, is much better. He says there's no need, however, to resort to such figurative interpretation. Body can well refer in this case to the physical organism. And what I'm going to try and prove to you is that when Paul says the body of sin, he's talking about the literal body. And I think that's clear from the context. When he goes on in verse 12 to talk about the body, he says it's your mortal body. That's the real body. In verses 13 and 19, he's talking about your members. They are actual members of your body, the physical body. When you look at the rest of the book of Romans in chapter 8, verses 10 and 11 and 13 and 23, and then chapter 12 and verse 1. Whenever he uses this word body, he means the literal physical body. So in the context, There is nothing that would lead me to believe anything else. The body of sin is a reference to your physical body. I would put it this way, that the body of sin is equivalent to what the New Testament terms the flesh. Not because the body is made up of flesh, but in the sense that the flesh means corruption, the corruption of sin as it tyrannizes the body, and very particularly as it makes use of the body. The members of the body, as Romans 6 puts it, become instruments. The literal word is weapons for the prosecution of sin. So the body of sin, therefore, is speaking of your literal body as it is affected by sin and as it becomes the instrument for sin. Now, what's the problem with that? What's the big deal? Well, you see, people object to say, if you do that, that sounds very like the old Gnostic heresy that the body is material, therefore it's evil, it's sinful because it is a body. No, that's not so. The body is not sinful simply because it's made out of material. Adam was created with a physical human body, but he had no sin. Sin does not reside in the body, but sin can make use of the body. That's what Paul's talking about here. To this, Hodge adds the objection, to make the body of sin mean the physical body would mean that Christ's object in dying was to destroy the body. Because here it's to destroy the body of sin. Of course, that's nonsense. Christ didn't come to destroy the body. What Paul is saying here is something very, very profound and yet very simple. And we all know this. You see, this is where Paul's great theology comes down to touch you and me where we actually live. This gets to where we are. The body is the peculiar vehicle that sin uses and that is easily ruled by sin. And the body, the New Testament is very clear in this. The body is the part of you that has not yet entered upon the full deliverance that Christ purchased for it at Calvary. You understand that? There's a question, let me put it this way. There's a question that is raised from time to time by charismatics and Pentecostalists defending their healing techniques, which have no basis whatsoever in the New Testament. But they will say, did not Christ bear our sicknesses as well as our sins? Sure he did. I'll not give up that doctrine to a Pentecostalist or to a charismatic. Sure he did. Is healing in the atonement? Sure it is. But you know, Pentecostals still die. You ever notice that? They still die. Because the time for the body to enter into all that Christ purchased at Calvary has not yet come. But yet Paul can say in Ephesians 2 that we, not our bodies, but we, the new men in Christ, we are already sitting with Christ in heaven. We are glorified in Him. Romans 8:30, everyone that He justified, He glorified, past tense. In other words, when you get a man who's saved, regarding the new man in Christ, it's all done. He's in Christ. He's in glory. He's there. That's his security. He gives the answer, by the way, to the saved today and lost tomorrow crowd. You could as soon take Christ from the throne of glory and drop him into hell as take one who's in Christ on the throne of glory and drop him into hell. But the body's not there. Some of you tonight who are seated with Christ in the heavenlies are now inhabiting bodies that are racked with pain and suffering. The body's not there yet. Some of you are also struggling with the body as the instrument and sin of sin that would come to tyrannize that body. Oh, the day is coming, thank God, very soon, when the body will be free, not only from pain but from sin, for the ultimate purpose of Christ's death, as we shall now see, is that the body of sin shall be destroyed. In the meantime, however, it must be mortified. The body of sin defined. He's talking about your body as it may be used as a weapon by sin.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us at 1-864-244-2408. That's 1-864-244-2408. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. This is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we let the Bible speak.